Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, children. Let's get back into what we talked about last week. Do you guys remember about the two brothers who reunited, Jacob and Esau? After everything they'd been through, they finally reunited. Okay. So what did Jacob do when he saw Esau? Do you remember? Yeah, he bowed down to him and showing great humility and respect. Very good. Yes. Yeah, he thought it was going to be totally off, right? Because Esau's coming in with 400 men to kill him. And here comes Jacob coming in limping. He bowed down to him. Like, how neat is that? It's a good image. What did Esau do when he saw Jacob? So he saw Jacob. What did Esau do? Yes.
He bowed down 7 times.
7 times? Whoa. It's a lot. That's perfect. Now, yeah, he cried and hugged him. Okay. He cried and hugged him, and God answered Jacob's prayer by removing Esau's anger because he was worried about his brother in anger. So he prayed for it, and God protected him by taking the anger out of Esau. So both rejoiced, and what a praise from God that he was able to do that. So now real quick, we're going to go into what they call a new beginning. So if you have your Bibles out today, we're going to go into Genesis 35, and we're going to go to verses 1 through 7. So you can just listen along with me as I read the word. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and cleanse yourselves and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel too, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had had in the rings, which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was near Shechem. Then they journeyed on, and there was a terror from God upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, L-U-Z, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar over there and called the place El Bethel, because their God has revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Then Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. It was named Alon Bachuth. I said that right. Sorry, guys. So, wow. Spicy. So, real quick, with that said, we'll go back into those verses a little bit, but I'm going to read these questions to you and just kind of want you to think about it. I really should have read the questions before, which I apologize, and I did not do that. So, the question I have for you is, where did God call Jacob to go? So, that first verse, God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to," starts with a B. Close, yeah, pretty close, yeah, Canaan. And it was also, that's good, and also to Bethel. So he said, to Bethel you're going to go. This is where God met with Jacob, giving him a vision of the ladder to heaven. So remember we talked about that vision he had of that ladder that was going up to heaven, the angels were climbing up down, and God was at the top, and the mediator between, which we kind of had the picture of Christ in there. That was what he was referring to in Bethel. That's where that happened. That's why he said, where did God call Jacob to go was Bethel. What did Jacob tell his family to do before they went? Do you remember what he told them to get rid of? Yeah, change his clothes, but it was also the idols, right? It was the foreign gods which are among you, and cleanse yourselves and change your garments. So he got rid of all those. So he got rid of the idols, and before they met with the true and living God in Bethel, Jacob buried these false gods because we don't want to present those to God, right? These are false idols. God detests false idols because he is the only living God, right? Okay, what did Jacob do when he got to Bethel? You remember? He built an altar. I'm glad you're listening good. That's wonderful. Yes, he built an altar to worship God, which we see that kind of in a theme too, right? Like when he got off the Noah's Ark, when they got off the boat, the first thing they did was they made an offering to God. He built an altar to worship God, though Jacob's family had fallen into idol worship. That's why he told him to get rid of it. They were now recommitting themselves to God's worship. And so with all those questions and things I want to point at you, the big point was that while God may allow believers to drift, he never lets them completely fall away. He may let you drift, but not fall away. So Jacob was a changed man, but he was still a sinner, just like all of us. Okay. So Have you guys ever have been in like a canoe or a boat? Any of you? Have you ever tried to row, like you're trying to get to dry land and all the waves are pushing against you and you're trying to fight them and you have like one oar or maybe two oars and you're just really struggling and it's just the waters are a little rough, maybe going through rapids, just all those type of things. You've been through that? Oh, you had smooth waters. That's awesome. Okay. Maybe it was me struggling with one oar. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, I was trying to make an analogy, but I guess it didn't work. You guys are good. Good job training your children in the ways of the oar. So I want you to imagine this instead, okay? A man in a rowboat trying to get to dry land, okay? He's in his boat. Every wave pushes them farther and farther out to sea. But as he rows, his boat slowly draws closer to land. But rowing against the tide is pretty tiring. It's tiring work. So he lies down to sleep for a couple hours, okay? When he wakes up, what do you think might happen? Yeah, he may find himself farther than the land when he first started rowing. He may have just been drifted over here, right? There's the word drift. You like that? He was drifting away over here because he fell asleep. So the idea is Jacob had come back to the land of Canaan, a new man. Remember, he got broken down by God. He went to his brother. There was trickery. God had to literally wrestle him. Remember that? That was a cool sight. I don't know if y'all were there that day. Ray did a great representation of wrestling right there. Wonderful. So he'd come back to land of Canaan, a new man, but the waves of temptation and sin quickly overtook him, which don't we struggle with that daily? We struggle with temptation and sin all the time, hitting us, hitting our boats constantly every day as we're trying to float and try to focus on Christ. So he drifted spiritually. His family began to worship false gods. Okay, so they went back and started focusing on them, putting their hope in trust in statues of rocks and wood, and how easy it is to drift like this. Have you guys noticed that to be easy before? You're focusing on God one week, and all of a sudden you just start focusing on other things. Maybe going to a friend's house, video games, animals, life itself, other things. You just start giving them more attention. Maybe. So one short nap. And we are all pulled deep into the sea. That would have been the end of Jacob's story, lost in the sea of idolatry. Okay, but God refused to leave him in such a state because God takes care of his children. Okay, he came to Jacob and called him to Bethel. And you will remember that Bethel was the place where God had met Jacob, 30 years earlier within that vision. Cool as that. He's bringing him back. So there, Jacob has seen a vision of a ladder reaching from heaven. From earth to heaven, sorry. There he had learned that he would receive the blessing by God's grace alone. Remember, because he tried to get what? What was Jacob trying to do by himself? He was trying to do everything on his own merit, right? That he could do it all, not relying on God. And God was trying to let him know that it's not by him, but by God's own grace. And now God was calling him back to the place where his glory dwelt. He was calling Jacob to renew covenant with him. And by God's grace, Jacob did. Praise God for that. He buried the idols in his house, cleaned up his family, and set out on a dangerous journey to Bethel in order to build an altar and worship to the true and living God. So the Lord may allow his people to drift from him, but he never lets them completely fall away. You ever heard of he is always faithful to finish the good work he has begun, the perseverance of the saints, right? He started good work in us and he will finish it in us, right? Amen to that. So with three questions, I'll end it from here. What led Jacob to drift spiritually? Do you know? Canaan. Yeah, maybe. It was his own sinfulness, okay? His own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the nations around him. Remember that kind of influence in there too. So God had promised Jacob would be safe and wealthy, but in his sin, Jacob was lured into seeking those things from the idols around him. Hence why they got into idol worship. So why is it so easy for us to forget God and drift spiritually? Why is it easy? Yes. Yeah, even the strongest Christians like Jacob continue to have sin in their hearts and live in a world like Canaan that is full of idolatry. It says in Genesis 5 that in our hearts, evil is continually, which means in Hebrew, every day. It's every day we have that evilness. So the strongest Christians you see in Scripture still struggle with sin. Now, do we despise our sin the more we focus on Christ? Absolutely. We should despise our sin. you despise it more and more, as it comes a godly sorrow that we wanted to grieve God with it. But now you look back a little further, who alone can save us from our sin and wandering? Olivia, do you know? I tried. Do you guys know? Yes. God. I was hoping the theologians up here would get it. They were so into it. Just talking. So yes, God, he led Jacob back to his house in Bethel, okay, to build an altar on which blood would be spilled and pointing forward to the one who would die for Jacob's sins. And this is what each of us need and we should desire for God to draw us to himself through Christ. Because he alone, as this is all the shadowing of these sacrifices to the coming of Christ being the perfect sacrifice. The one sacrifice for all. And it's a joy we don't have to do sacrifices today, right? Because Christ did that for us. So as we go today, I want you to pray that God would deliver every member of your family, which you need to be praying for your family without ceasing, all the time. And I tell that to myself too, because I need to pray for my family as well. And pray for each member from spiritual drifting, and praise God for his grace and understanding who he truly is. All right? Let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you for this message as we learn about the two brothers and their family and the struggles they go through, that you are there with them and you never forget or forsake us. As though it says you let us drift sometimes, but you never let us fall away. We strive to honor you through the word and strive to pray for those around us and our family who may be drifting as well, Lord. We pray for your mercy and grace for all of us and to glorify you in everything we do. It is in your name we pray, amen.